That sounded absolutely splendid, of course. But the Baudelaire orphans did not get an opportunity to say so, because a telephone rang just at that instant.
"I'll get it! I'll get it!"
Esme cried, and raced across the room to pick up the phone.
"Squalor residence," she said,
into the receiver, and then waited as the person spoke on the other end.
"Yes? This is Mrs. Squalor. Yes. 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 Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you."
She hung up the phone and turned to the children.
"Guess what?" she asked. "I have some fantastic news on what we were talking about."
"The quagmires have been found?"
Klaus asked, hopefully.
"Who?"
Esme asked.
"Oh, them. No, they haven't been found. Don't be silly. Jerome, children, listen to me. Dark is out. Regular light is in."
"Well, I'm not sure I'd call that fantastic news," Jerome said, "but it will be a relief to get some light around this place. Come on, Baudelaires, help me open the shades, and you can get a look at our view. You can see quite a bit from so high up."
"I'll go turn on all the lamps in the penthouse," Esme said breathlessly. "Quickly, before anybody sees that this apartment is still dark."
Esme dashed from the room, while Jerome gave the three siblings a little shrug, and walked across the room to the windows. The Baudelaires followed him, and helped him open the heavy shades that were covering the windows. Instantly, sunlight streamed into the room, making them squint as their eyes adjusted to regular light. If the Baudelaires had looked around the room now that it was properly illuminated, they would have seen just how fancy all the furniture was. The couches had pillows embroidered with silver, the chairs were all painted with gold paint, and the tables were made from wood chopped away from some of the most expensive trees in the world. But the Baudelaire orphans were not looking around the room, as luxurious as it was. They were looking out of the window onto the city below.
"Spectacular view, don't you think?"
Jerome asked them, and they nodded in agreement. It was as if they were looking out on a tiny, tiny city, with matchboxes instead of buildings, and bookmarks instead of streets. They could see tiny coloured shapes that looked like various insects, but were really all the cars and carriages in town, driving along the bookmarks, until they reached the matchboxes where the tiny dots of people lived and worked. The Baudelaires could see the neighbourhood where they had lived with their parents, and the parts of town where their friends had lived, and in a faint blue strip far, far away, the beach where they had received the terrible news that had begun all their misfortune.
"I knew you'd like it," Jerome said. "It's very expensive to live in a penthouse apartment, but I think it's worth it for a view like this. Look, those tiny round boxes over there are orange juice factories. That sort of purplish building next to the park is my favorite restaurant. And look straight down. They're already cutting down those awful trees that made our street so dark."
"Of course they're cutting them down,"
Esme said, hurrying back into the room and blowing out a few candles that were sitting on the mantelpiece.
"Regular light is in, as in as aqueous martinis, pinstripes, and orphans."
Violet, Klaus, and Sunny looked straight down and saw that Jerome was right. Those strange trees that had blocked out the sunlight on Dark Avenue, looking no taller than paperclips from such a great height, were being chopped down by little gardener dots. Even though the trees had made the street seem so gloomy, it seemed a shame to tear them all down, leaving bare stumps that from the penthouse window looked like thumbtacks. The three siblings looked at one another, and then back down to Dark Avenue. Those trees were no longer in, so the gardeners were getting rid of them. The Baudelaires did not like to think of what would happen when orphans were no longer in, either.